Today's text is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, as Paul is introducing this letter to us that he's writing to Timothy. It is found in your pew Bible if you wish to follow along on page 1034. Again, it is 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17. Listen now and hear God's word for you. I thank you. I thank him who has given me strength for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful by appointing me to his service. Though I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and insulted him, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I am the foremost of sinners. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me again. Gracious and loving God, we thank you once again for this, your word, for what it says to us and what it encourages of us as we find ourselves, and we all do, in places like Paul. Now speak to our hearts and mind as we celebrate Rally Day, as we install our Sunday school teachers, and as we recognize our acolytes. It's in the name of Jesus we ask this together. Amen. I am less than. I don't measure up. And what's worse, people see it. Last week, I spoke with you for a little while about anxiety and its role in our lives, associating envy and greed and deferment with how anxiety sort of is expressed and how it grows in us. I wondered how our faith is used to combat and address those feelings. Last week, the Gospel of Luke taught us that if we have and display a humble faith, a faith centered not on prosperity or on being repaid, but on God's care in the community, then we will find that we are able to trust God a little more deeply in our lives because God is at work in unanticipated, unexpected ways that exceed everything we could have dreamt up. Today, I want to continue along that path for a little bit. In 1 Timothy, we can notice how Paul dealt with these same issues of anxiety, this envy, this greed, this deferment, and see how his understanding of that issue, how he attacked the problem himself. His understanding, you see, was not based on himself or his ability or the way he was raised, but his understanding of how to deal with the same issues as last week was based on something different. In 1 Timothy, we have Paul writing intimate, very intimate words of discipleship to his student, his disciple, Timothy. It is assumed in these pastoral epistles, as Paul writes these words, that young Timothy is going to read them, study them, think upon them, and then follow in his apostle's footsteps and spread God's word faithfully to the Gentile community that he's sent to. The two epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy, show us how deeply Paul cares for his student. And at the same time, it's showing us what Timothy needs to understand as Paul's ministry is coming to its close and Timothy's is about to begin. Paul knew, you see, that Timothy would encounter people in his own life, and maybe he himself would be one of them who is dealing with anxiety, just as we do in every corner of our lives. And as Luke talked to us last week, Therefore, he, Timothy, would need a way to address those issues. When he finds someone who is anxious and dealing with things as we are dealing with them, he would need a method, a way, something to lean upon. Knowing this, Paul offers his pupil a way forward that Paul himself learned to be faithful and effective, true in his own life. Paul begins this letter with two concepts. He begins all of his letters with the first, which is an acknowledgement of God's grace. It's a traditional way he starts his letters, giving us God's grace and commenting upon it. And more importantly for today, the second thing is Paul's response to that grace, what it reveals in him, and what that revelation causes him to see in himself. This takes us back to that first set of statements I made. I am less than. I do not measure up. And you see it. Today we learned that God's unlimited patience, as one translation says it, patient as this translation said it, helps us find a way through that anxiety and that disappointment of life because God is faithful, and that patience that Paul has learned about has value moving forward. Our text begins with Paul not only offering the greeting, but nestled in his greeting, we find statements that seem to be highlighting what Paul dislikes about himself, or as one book I read says, how much Paul hates himself and the life he knew and the life that he thought he valued, the life he had been trained to see. Remember, as one trained as Paul was, certain beliefs and mindsets were commonplace. They were normal. His attitude of disdain against the Christians, the people following the way, as Acts writes it, was one of these such things. This is what he learned. He was trained. And he valued that training. As the young Christian church begins to take its first steps into life, Paul values the fact that they're not supposed to. Therefore, Paul sought to persecute the church as we know, as it was constituted. That church lived outside of the Old Testament God he was comfortable with and he knew he believed him. Once he has his Damascus Road experience and meets Jesus and the scales fall from his eyes, we see Paul's mindset and his wording shift. He stops judging the church by worldly standards as he was trained as a teacher of the law, and he begins to realize that sharp lens of judgment he had against them should have been turned around. So it was looking at him because of what God had revealed to him. He begins to go down the self-judgment road. Self-judgment can be quite toxic to the individual if it is left unchecked. Anyone you know who deals with a healthy dose of self-judgment, we will find also deals with a healthy amount of anxiety in their lives. Self-judgment tells us that we are never enough who we are when we're compared to another person, envy with anxiety. It allows us to compare ourselves with another and find what they have is better, whatever that may be, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Greed. In this way, we find the words of Luke 4 reinforcing us. Self-judgment sees the things only through the eye of the individual, and it loses track of the larger worldview and picture, which is possible. Paul learned this, and he experienced it. Paul recognized this issue, and as he does, he takes steps, deliberate steps, as he's writing to Timothy, so Timothy can follow him to make sure he comments on it. Because he understands where he's been and what he's done and how his sin has harmed the church. And he understands the solution for that sin, what God showed him. The solution is found in the patience of God that he, Paul, experienced in his life. Paul can remember, as I've said, the times in his life when he, in retrospect, was testing the limits of what God could do. He remembers the time when the way he was raised and how he was taught put him into direct conflict with the message and work of the gospel that Jesus gave us, that we know in the gospel. As he reflects on this over and over through the years of his ministry, Paul can bring each moment to mind. And as he does, the apostle creates phrases and words to deal with it. And the phrase he uses today, as I was reading it, is not only perfect patience, as I shared with you here, but unlimited patience, which the NIV gives us. Now, many biblical authors over the years have spoken to us about the need to be patient in life. We've seen the signs in the doctor's office that say, Lord, grant me patience, but hurry. But the way Paul uses this perfect, unlimited patience the way the Son of God used it, was the only other person in the Bible to use it the same way Paul's using it here, is important. No one else sees it or experiences it in this way outside of Jesus in this very moment with Paul. The wording he uses reflects an inability on the part of the individual to exhaust what God offers. Now, we have heard of this when it comes to grace, but I wonder if you've heard about it with patience. For every parent, Jennifer and I know, and every grandparent knows, there comes a moment when patience runs a little thin and you get a little frustrated. You've pushed me too far, and I will no longer look just the other way. But Paul understands that this is not how God's patience runs in his life. You see, Paul remembers. He's calling him to mind with Timothy every single time he failed God. Every single time his expectations that he elevated of God were off. Paul saw that in the midst of that, God never stopped being patient with him. Now, the biblical authors will say the phrase, but no one supposes that God's patience will never run out, except for the Messiah, who would know something about God and his patience. I wonder what that says to you. When your own life demonstrates that moments exist, when you went the wrong way, you headed this way and you should have headed that way, and God was still present and still shepherded you back to the path. I wonder when you have found yourself saying that you are less, Paul said, a blasphemer, insignificant, and God's patience, and it was God's patience alone, that brought you back to the place where you leaned upon Christ once again. You found Christ, the Christ who never stopped loving or supporting. I wonder what those moments look like for you. And I wonder, as you find them, as you notice them, where is that patience, that unlimited, perfect patience displayed in your life with Christ? Let us pray together.